Packed house tonight. Houston Texans grill for the Antonio Smith program. Mark Vandermeer, Drew Doherty, DP Sidhu, and the ninja assassin, Antonio Smith. And people are fired up tonight, and I know you're fired up, too. How are you doing, Antonio? Good to see you.
I am doing great, you know. Just a little beat up, but great. Nevertheless.
You know, I saw Brooks today in the building, and he said, I'm coming in to recover a little bit. You know, that's what guys do, right? They come in, get a little treatment, that sort of thing. Rebuild the body, remend it for the next week.
You're right about that, man. It's been a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that, of course, for sure. But how much of a season are you 100% or maybe 98%? I mean, give me an idea of percentage of health, because I know you guys have all sorts of things that never even get discussed in the media.
Mm-hmm. Never.
Never. You're never that healthy. No.
Never. Never.
Really? There's always something.
Never. That's why I do not understand the severity of training camp, because training camps makes you go into the season hurt. Nursing injuries.
So you don't think it toughens you? Is there an element of you got to get in football shape and learn how to take a hit again and all of that?
You got to get in. Yeah, I'm learning it. I'm learning it, that lesson now. But you got to get in football shape. You got to get your body used to getting hit. But to the point that you do it in training camp, you know, I think it puts a lot on you. And if you don't find a way to rest your players during the season, man, it grows weary on their body and breaks down a little bit.
Because of all you've gone through in the seasons before, do you ever go into training camp 100%, or are you still kind of not fully go or fully go?
Sometimes I'm not, but I got a new formula that I'm pretty much 100% when I get to training camp. Yeah, you know?
A new formula.
Yeah.
Acupuncture?
No.
Something
it's
else.
Not acupuncture. Yeah. It's called complete total rest.
Well, I was going to ask you, in a few weeks, you've got the bye week coming up. How much does the bye week help? It's really only a week off, but does that help?
It helps a lot. It helps a lot. When you come back from the bye week, it's like starting a new season, you know. Your body feels a little bit more fresh, you know, than with the weeks past, you know. Cause all you're doing is like maintaining until you get some real rest, which is the end of the season.
Antonio Smith joining us, and we've got a full hour, a lot to talk about. Let's talk about Sunday a little bit here. I know it was a rough one. After the game, you were the most positive person in the locker room, I think. And I didn't hear everybody, obviously, but you said some things like, we can use this. We did play well for a big chunk of the game, and we can use this moving forward.
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm not new to none of this that we're going through. I've been through it before, and I had to go through those same trials, you know, that they're going through. But the thing that I felt, and I know each and every one of them felt it too, you could feel it out there, is that we have not touched what we touched, you know, Sunday. That level of play, that level of excitement, aggressiveness. You know, you might have seen, you know, comebacks early in the season, but we had never played at the level we played this past Sunday.
You were definitely the voice of reason in the locker room on Sunday, and you've got that experience that you just mentioned. Did you like seeing the anger from J.J. Watt, though, in the aftermath? I mean, it's kind of like a yin and a yang, if anything. You guys are next to each other locker-wise, and he was – I mean, I think there was smoke coming out of his ears.
Yeah. I didn't want to – I mean, I seen it. I didn't say nothing to him, because sometimes you got to let people do, you know, what they do. I just don't want it to consume him. So I asked him in a joking manner, you all right? You all right? You know? And you can tell when people are taking it pretty bad, but you got to always be able to see what you can take out of something. If you don't and never learn from a mistake or a play, a time in life where you're being molded for something greater, then all you're going to worry about is the negative. And when the negative keeps piling up, you're going to end up shutting down and giving up. You know, it's just inevitable if you keep focusing on what bad is happening instead of what good can happen.
What can you tell us about what you said in the players' meeting yesterday? I know those things are private, but what can you share with us, Antonio? Because reportedly you were one of the guys to speak to the team.
I just said what I always say, man. I'm an open book to my teammates. And when I have knowledge of something, you know, like I said, I've been through it before. You know, I gave it to them, and that's exactly what I told them. I told them, you know, part of my story in Arizona, and then last year we made that Super Bowl run. You know, we started off hot, and feeling ourselves, and then ended like trash, and then went into the playoffs. It humbled us and went into the playoffs, and everybody had to check their egos at the door. You know, everybody had to put the team first before yourself, you know. And I just told them that story and told them that we got to make a decision. And the decision is we want to be a Super Bowl team, or we want to be a flashy team that make plays here and there and that everybody talks about and then go to the second round of the playoffs and end up losing. You know, I said, oh, do you want to be the team? And I emphasized the word team, you know, that is in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, you know, because you're not going to win the Super Bowl if you're not a team. Every team that has a lot of talent and just makes a lot of flashy plays a lot of times, you know, whenever they meet a team, kind of like we did last year, you kind of lose.
What do you think prompted Arian to call the meeting? We heard Arian Foster call the meeting. Do you think it was the mood in the locker room after the game? Do you think it was the way in which you lost, or the fact that it was 2 weeks in a row and it was sort of something that was building?
In the locker room, it was a couple people talking about it. You know, Arian was talking about it. Ed was talking about it. And we were just all sharing our opinions and said, you know, something got to be said. Something got to be done. You know, we got to challenge ourselves. We got to put it upon ourselves, you know. And Arian decided, you know, that next morning, he said, I'm going to talk. No, matter of fact, he said it that day in the shower. He said, I'm going to talk to Coop and see if we can have a meeting, you know, before practice. I said, well, let's do it. And he said, and I came to work the next day, and they left me downstairs in the weight room and went told Coop without me. But I ain't going to say nothing about that.
Good thing you're not upset about that. Can you say who else spoke at that meeting besides yourself? You said Ed. It was you and Ed talking about it in the locker room.
Pretty much all of the leaders, all of the veterans, you know. Pretty much everybody, but it was an open table, you know. And that's one thing that Arian said, or anybody got anything they want to share or they want to address or anything like that. And at the end of it, you know, I think it was just mostly the older veterans and the leaders of the team that ended up speaking, you know.
And what do you think will be gained from it? You know, how many of these have you been through before in your career, players-only meetings?
I'd have been through a couple of them. And if you take them to heart, they always make a change. They always light a spark, you know, light a fire. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how you take it, how everybody takes it, and if everybody buys into it.
And, Tony, I know the way you are, you're aware of so many things around the team and around town and everything. Matt Schaub is obviously hearing it a lot this week in the media, fan base, that kind of thing. And is that the kind of situation where you might say something to him, or you know that he's dealt with this kind of thing before? I know the volume's turned up a little bit after this last Sunday. How do you see that situation, and how do you deal with it?
If I was him, or just how do I deal with it?
As you, but
talking to him.
But I wouldn't mind hearing your opinion on how you deal with it if you were him. Also,
You know, if I see an opportunity or something in Matt, I'm most of them don't know, but I'm very observant. I always watch them. Mm-hmm. They don't know I'm watching them. I always watch them. I'm trying to see they into it. I'm trying to see the vibe. I got a good feel for people and a good vibe. And if I see them in like a downcast type of mood, you know, I would say something to him, but it always comes to me in the moment. I don't know what I would just say to him
right now.
But I'm always encouraging, you know, and if it came to me then I give it to him. If I don't need to talk to him, then I won't, you know. It's like a feeling thing, you know. But if I was him, I would just, like I told you when I first came in, I would refocus my chi, channel my innermost ninja, and bring it back into focus so that I may perform supremely.
You've talked about how this is the year he's going to write his legend. Mm-hmm. What does he need to do now to bounce back, to correct things? Because if you think about it, throwing a pick six 3 weeks in a row doesn't happen too often, and probably he's kind of used up that stat. It's probably not going to happen again anytime soon.
I think that Matt is doing exactly what I've been talking about for the past 2 weeks that a lot of us have been doing, and it's not just him, and that's pressing because of so many expectations. You're worrying about so much of the noise outside of your locker room and outside of your brothers and your coaches, and it puts so much pressure on you and so much expectation on you that it makes you want to make things happen, you know. And I think Matt knows that. I think Matt knows that, and he said that in the meeting that you know, he knows he's a better player, and that's all I need from him. As long as I know that he know, you know, that he got this. You know, when you started believing what everybody's saying, oh, man, I'm just a piece of crap. I can't do nothing. Nine times out of ten, you're going to start playing that way, you know. But I know that he's going to put that effort in to change, you know, what's going on. So I'm not worried about it one bit. You know, I'm confident in him. I always have been.
Did you get a chance to talk to him after the game, after he threw that pick? You could just see the expression on his face. He pounded the ground, and he held his helmet. Did you get a chance to talk to him on the sidelines or afterwards?
No, I don't too much do that. It depend on if I have lost my cool or something. But, you know, I just let him be him. And then after the game, you know, he didn't look like he was – to me, he didn't look like he was in such a bad place where I needed to say something to him, you know. But, you know, he took it bad. I can see that he took it bad. So what's the use of any of us saying anything to him to make it worse on him? You know, that don't help.
Well, not necessarily worse, but maybe encouraging or,
you'll
get through this.
Yeah, and I said if I had the opportunity, if I seen him so downcast, I would. But when you're coming off the field and everybody's saying it to you, it gets to a point where it's making you focus on it, you know.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the game, you don't want to focus on the pass plays. You know, mm-hmm. That's a big thing the coaches talk about, you know, let the last play go.
Right.
And make the next play, you know. And if you keep putting that on somebody, you know, putting it on their mind, it's going to make them focus on the negative.